This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The gay rights movement usually claims that gay marriage will not affect anyone except the people getting married. They claim it is no offense to traditional marriage, but that does not appear to be true. Here is a curious incident that happened in the state of Washington, where same-sex marriage is legal. The manager of a flower shop was asked by a customer named Robert Ingersoll to provide flowers for his upcoming marriage to his same-sex partner. The manager told him she could not do that because of, quote, her relationship with Jesus Christ. Robert Ingersoll then wrote about this incident on Facebook. The Washington State Attorney General's office heard about this and decided to sue the florist. The left wants to make the florist's decision an issue of discrimination. The left wing says that this incident is no different from having a whites-only restaurant. But the florist was not discriminating against people. She has openly gay employees, and she is happy to sell flowers to gay customers, which she has been doing for years. This was about an event, not a person. The florist simply refused to assist with an activity she objected to for religious reasons. So it appears that same-sex marriage does indeed have a large effect on society and an immediate effect on the wedding vendors who will now be required to participate in it. If the vendors do not cooperate in same-sex marriages, they face lawsuits from the state. The left wing wants to use the government power to force acceptance of its lifestyle. The homosexual movement does not practice the tolerance it preaches. We seem to be reaching the point where one of the biggest issues in same-sex marriage is the free speech right of others to criticize it. Whatever happened to our First Amendment free exercise of religion?
College students, you're invited to the 20th annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit on July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. Get equipped to combat the liberal ideologies of multiculturalism, diversity, and feminism on your campus. Network with conservative leaders. Register in advance and the conference is free. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host,
Tuscan. And good evening, welcome to the Bob Tuscan Show. On tonight's show, we were going to have a guest on, and well, he's still on the line with us. Let's go ahead and bring Mark Diehl up. Mark Diehl's got a wealth of information. We were going to talk with him about the his book he wrote, 17 Book One, which is an awesome look at a number of different things. We'll ask him what exactly is going on today that's making us a glorified anthill when we always. Were we always rather in the process of evolving into a corporate species? Is there any way we might step outside the evolution process and become something better than semi-intelligent ants? There's a lot to get to, and Mark Diehl writes novels about power dynamics and the way people and organizations influence each other. He believes that obedience and conformity are becoming humanity's most important survival skills, and that we are thus evolving into a corporate species. Diehl has been homeless in Japan, practiced law with a major multinational firm in Chicago, studied in Singapore, fled South Korea as a fugitive, and been stranded for weeks in Hong Kong. After spending most of his youth running around with hoods and thugs, he eventually earned his doctorate in law at the University of Iowa and did graduate work in creative writing at the University of Chicago. Currently lives and writes in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. And he joins us tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show. But Mark, I'm going to cancel the interview because all I'm going to talk about for the next 3 hours of my show is Duck Dynasty. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to Duck Dynasty, I'm afraid, Bob.
All right, so we're going to cancel this fascinating interview that we've had planned for over a week, and I'm just going to do nonstop Duck Dynasty coverage tonight. No, I'm joking. So we said the word now two times, and all the listeners can get that out of their systems, and now we can look at some interesting stuff here. 17 is to corporatism and the NWO, what 1984 was to communism. Tell me why.
Well, when Orwell started writing, he was looking at the rise of communism, and it wasn't really just communism. It was that governments had gotten so big so fast by that time. And somebody looking at international developments at his point in history had a lot to say. Just like now, we have a lot going on, and there are all these sources of information. But what Orwell did was he said, well, okay, we need to get it out to people who aren't going to sift through all of this information. What will it be like if we all become communists? And he painted a picture of what that world would be like, a world perpetually at war, a world where your government spies on you all the time, a world where every aspect of your life is controlled. And what I've done in 17 is to look at, well, okay, what's going to happen now with our new developments, with after we've gotten over the idea that communism is the right answer, what's next? What are we doing now? And how is that going to develop and situate us for the next 100, 200 years?
Right. The Economic Hitman, written by John Perkins, refers to what we have today as a corporatocracy. Do you like that term?
I do. I like, you know, and there are all the variations of it, and I don't think we've really settled on one yet. People call it corporatism, corporatocracy. But I think that, you know, if you look at why is a huge, overpowering, omnipotent government so dehumanizing? Well, it's because it's a great big organization, and it crams everybody into a little niche, and any variation from that isn't tolerated. And what we've found since then is that there are other dehumanizing institutions. And I think that the modern multinational corporation, which, by the way, I have personal experience with because I was a lawyer for them for a number of years in Chicago, is an incredibly dehumanizing giant institution.
The folks that have studied this for a while tend to realize that there is finer and finer a line between the private sector and the government sector. Is that something you found to be the case as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think most of the time when you have laws passed and people are like, well, what's going on with this? Why do we need this law? You know, there's somebody behind it. And once in a while, it's some, you know, wacko group that forms on its own. But often you'll find that it has to do with plain old money and economics and what's in it for somebody making, you know, campaign contributions or trading their employees in and out of the agencies that regulate them. You know, these kinds of things are going on all the time. And it's really easy to trace the money aspect. And you say, well, why would somebody take this action? Why would somebody be motivated to do that? Oh, well, because the corporate stock goes up, or the you know, there's a new contract, or there's a new need for it. Or one of my favorites is we get rid of small business because only we can meet the regulations that we pass for ourselves. So they make themselves less efficient and yet use their power over government to force us to patronize the least efficient business. So, yeah, I think this is the kind of thing that's happening, and that's the background that I set 17 in.
Right, and 17 is a fiction, correct?
Right, and it's just like Orwell. To get people to see the big picture instead of, you know, the forest instead of all the trees, I wanted to write it as fiction so people get into the story and say, okay, well, here's the story, I can follow that, and they see where we're headed, and they see what the world's really going to be like. And I think I've done that. I think it's a good story, and I think that it is set in a world that is the most realistic view of what the future will be like if we stay on this path and do not change.
It's scary, it really is, and we already see much of Orwell's novel, 1984, becoming true. I'm sure.
Right, in ways we didn't even know. You know,
yeah,
we don't need the telescreen at the end of the room. We carry it in our pocket. You know?
That's exactly right. I've often said that the whole idea of them being able to read our thoughts, well, they don't have to go in your brain necessarily. You put it out there for them to read in your Facebook update, or, you know, some people out there, they write what they had for breakfast, when they're going to go to the bathroom, and whatever other ridiculous things they have. And they volunteer this information, Mark. It's crazy.
Right. Right. And it's, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be you. You know, now you're getting invited. Who is this guy? Tag this person in your photo. You know, it's like, you don't even need to be the one narking on yourself anymore.
Sure. And then on top of that, they have face recognition therapy, face recognition software and whatnot to find you and all that jazz. It's definitely out of a page from Orwell's novel, and 17 is what to corporatism is to corporatism, and the NWO what 1984 was to communism. And we're talking with the author of this book, 17, Mark Diehl. We're not going to be talking about Duck Dynasty tonight, folks, because this topic is much more broader and more important. It's the big picture here on the Bob Tuscan Show. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Attention veterans, fellow preppers, and outdoorsmen. You have to check out AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're veteran-owned and operated, offering GMO-free food, camping supplies, and much more. The best customer service and fast shipping makes AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com second to none. Unique products and super low prices make AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com the best choice for emergency preparedness. No automated computers, just good people trying to help you prepare. Finally, brother veterans, if you need help with food or blankets, call 818-720-0759.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
Neil is the author, and Mark, I have a question for you. What exactly is going on today that's making us a glorified anthill?
Well, I think I started thinking about this when I was living in Asia. And Asian societies are much stricter than ours in the West, and they are much more of a top-down militaristic type of hierarchy.
Are they collectivists?
And what I realized when I was living in Asia is that they have the highest population densities. You know, they're crammed in between mountains and ocean, and there are millions and millions of people living in this tiny space.
That can't be good.
And they have very few resources. So
well, that
if
can't
you,
be good.
Right. And so all of a sudden it clicked for me, and I said, wait a minute. This culture isn't just this way by accident. The cultures here evolved over time. They changed, and they fit their circumstances. And when you have lots and lots of people crammed into a little space, and, you know, what the heck, let's throw in they get hit with earthquakes and tsunamis and things. And
nice.
Then you have, on top of that, very few resources. You start to get this pattern where you have to have this top-down hierarchy because that's how society can utilize all those resources. It's not necessarily great for each individual, but the group as a whole tends to move forward. So that groupist idea that, you know, keep your head, like, for example, you know, here we say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. In Japan, they say the tall blade of grass gets cut. And that kind of momentum brought them to where they are today. And then when I came back, I went to law school. I studied how people regulate each other. And then I went and practiced law, and I was in this giant firm. And, you know, my clients were the people who broke the world. They were the giant companies who, you know, the bailout institutions, the too big to fail. And I saw firsthand that that's the same culture. It's this keep your head down, do what you're told, fit into the structure. And I thought, wow, these guys are taking over everything. Because I'd worked at a little firm before, and I kind of, you know, got my name out and built my reputation and got pulled up to the big leagues. And once I was there, I could see that there was no way that I could have, the same lawyer, being at two different firms, I could not have competed with that giant firm. No matter how good I was as a lawyer, I couldn't compete with those resources. I couldn't compete with somebody who had 10 paralegals at their beck and call and who could run that kind of machinery all night long to prepare for one motion call or something like that. So I saw the power. I saw the history that led to this kind of thing, and I saw the cultures that had evolved from these kinds of circumstances. And I said, well, this is what's happening. And eventually I couldn't stand the environment anymore, and I quit. And I went to graduate school to learn how to write a book so I could show people what's going on.
Well, you know, you say that these big corporations have all these resources, and it's very hard for an individual or a smaller organization to compete. And the first thing I think of is, yeah, that's definitely so. And it's also extremely apt for the government's sake. Is the government not the same sort of entity?
Right. And, you know, that I think is the key to understanding the whole thing. And in 17, I have that where, you know, there's sort of this fuzzy line between what is a corporation and what is a government, you know, The federal agents who are investigating this killing are doing so at the behest of corporate leaders, basically, in the book. But I think the line is blurring, and, you know, even if you look at one person, you take one person's career, you know, they used to call it the revolving door, and it was common even back in the 80s where somebody would work up in an industry a while or in a government regulatory agency for that industry and then move over to the industry for a while or move into the government for a while and handle, you know, it's kind of like being the cop and the robber at the same time. And I think that line is getting blurrier all the time. And there will always be some difference between them. But, you know, how much difference will there be? You know, right now you can have corporate security officers carrying guns around, you know, and So, you know, how much does, for example, police work stay within the public realm, and how much of that is going to be corporate? I don't know. But, you know, when you have them regulating themselves, you know, that's pretty much you've got one entity. And all of these corporations working together and influencing government in the same way, it's really a competition between the corporations to see what they can steer the government to do. And we're kind of, individuals are out on the outside looking in at that. And there's very little influence that we can do as individuals, the same way that I, as a lawyer with a small firm, had very little influence compared to, you know, even if you think about it, what is being a lawyer? It's influencing the courts. So right there, even, you see corporate influence over government. Because if you can influence the way that the laws are interpreted to your favor, that's kind of the front line of all of it. Be proactive, get your lobbyists, and you start enacting laws for your own benefit. You know, Monsanto comes to mind. You know, and then you've got other things. You've got the regulatory agencies and all of these things. Eventually, it just becomes one big amorphous blob with the same people and the same resources spinning around inside it. And the rest of us are outside. And that's what 17 is. It's the corporate future when there's nowhere else to go. When the whole world is taken over and there is no small business anymore. Because governments have regulated it out of existence. And there's only the corporation. And these are the same corporations, by the way, that when you look at what they're doing in China or what they're doing with their factories in India or wherever, how do they treat their people there? We have some big company job here, and you say, wow, you work for that big company. You must make tons of money. You must have a great, you know, life. But that's because right now the market conditions are such that working for that company at the current job that you do with the current level of skill that you have happens to demand that salary. That won't be the case in the future. Eventually, they will be so big that they will have total control of the market. And if you are outside of a corporation in that world, there's nowhere else to go. There is no secondary economy. It's all within the corporate structure, which means obedience is how you pay the bills, period.
Right.
So
are we
in
always
17,
in the process
that's what
of
I have.
Evolving
I have...
into a corporate species, Mark?
Say that again, Bob.
Were we always in this process of evolving into a corporate species?
I think so. I think that if you look at military history, that's where it started. When we discovered that armies could sweep across continents, and the better armies were the ones with the strictest hierarchy, where you could point up the hill and say, go kill somebody up that way, and they would do it. And they would not question. And once we started to reward unquestioning obedience, then all of a sudden that took off. Because
that
any army
we'll be right back
didn't...
after this quick break, Mark.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There's no reason to be sick this season with Supernatural Silver's incredible technology. You can give your immune system the support it needs to help fight off colds, flus, and other nasty pathogens that can ruin the holidays for you and those you love. Used internally or topically, Supernatural Silver is a great defense against sore throats, runny noses, sinus or ear infections, and a whole host of other illnesses. Supernatural Silver is extremely safe and a great way to protect yourself and the ones you love. No one knows what the future may bring, so be smart and plan ahead. Have Supernatural Silver in your emergency preparedness arsenal and give someone a gift that's meaningful, a gift that can change lives. Give the gift of good health this year. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off your entire order. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
And our guest is Mark Diehl. I just did this introduction to myself, not realizing I was muted. Live radio, folks, gotta love it. And at some point, Mark, I want to digress and ask you about leaving South Korea and being chased out by your wife's powerful family and the police. Sounds like there's quite a story there. I'd love to hear about that. But let me ask the question I asked you again last segment. Were we always in the process of evolving into a corporate species?
I'll take a different I'll start again, and we'll kind of move toward why I called my website armyofthedoomed.com. Go back a few thousand years, you're a farmer. Maybe you're a rich farmer, you have an ox to help you plow, something like that, right? You live in a little village, you know, thatch roof huts, whatever. And one day you look up, and there are 10,000 Roman soldiers waiting to sweep down a hill and eradicate your village. The reason that that could happen is because they got the organization first. They got that strict top-down hierarchy. And you can go and you can grab your hoe or your pickaxe or whatever you have and go stand there and fight a few of them, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And it's simply because they're a giant mob and you're not. And that is what is now happening in business. So we started with the military, and it's over time we have evolved into this system where top-down hierarchy and blind obedience gives people power, and that power can then be used against individuals who don't have a big mob. And that is why small business is disappearing today. And that is why real individuals on the outside looking at this, looking up at the Roman legion, really are the army of the doomed. We are the ones saying, wait, I just want to live my life. Well, too bad. You're not part of this giant mob that's sweeping people off the continent.
Interesting. Mark, let me ask you this. Is there any way we might step outside this evolution process and become something better than semi-intelligent ants, as you put it?
I think the first thing to do, a shameless plug here, is to have everybody on the same page to say, well, this is what happens if we continue this way. So read my book, 17, book one. I think that's the first step, because right now everybody is still living in this dream world where corporations are organizations that sell things, and they have a cute cartoon animal on TV, and they tell you, buy our product because it'll make you happy, and people buy into that, and they believe this stuff, and they think that this is somehow capitalism, or it's somehow American. And these things are neither. They are not American. They are controlled by international financial markets. They are not capitalist. Capitalism is where the market rewards you for meeting some need. When you meet some need, or you conduct business in some way where instead of the market rewarding you, you are rewarded by political power, when you are rewarded with control over the market itself, then you're outside the realm of capitalism. And we need to start seeing corporations for what they really are. And what corporations really are is not something that sells things, at least not exclusively. Corporations own. Corporations control. And that's the key difference between what we've normally thought of as business and what's going on right now. And if we don't wake up and realize that the game has changed, and that we used to think of governments, you know, some government rises up somewhere, and, okay, we're going to be fascist, or we're going to be communist, or whatever, and then we're going to go invade our neighbors, and we're going to go invade, you know, two or three countries past our neighbors, and we're going to take over the world this way. That's the old style. Right now, we have these giant entities with more money and more power than most of the countries of the world, and they are already all over the world. So the ideas that we're working with, we have to update how we approach these problems and what we think about when we're talking about these things. And hopefully, you know, I wrote my book, a fiction book, an action-adventure science fiction story, to get people into that, to get people thinking about what does this mean? What is different now than was true in Orwell's day? So we'll see. Well, hopefully that'll work.
Who are some of the players here? We've kind of used generic terms here for them. Who are some of the players, and what are some of the individuals' names at the upper echelons of these institutions?
You know, I've looked at more of the big picture stuff, the trends, you know, from ancient Rome, ancient Japan, these kinds of things.
Right.
Who are the players? I don't know, because, again, it's not the same as it used to be. know, I'm sure there are people following exactly who this person is or who that person is. And, you know, I mean, people throw around names like the Rothschilds or whatever. To me, it's the pattern. It's the momentum. It's the development of these situations. And I also think it's different now because you don't have a Hitler you can point to. And I don't know, you know, that might be the case with some of the, you know, the central banking names or something like that. But you don't have a Hitler. You don't have a Stalin. You have, you know, people owning huge chunks of these corporations, and they put up a CEO. And the CEO makes $100 million a year. And you kind of see him. You know, he'll go on the news sometimes. You know his name. But you don't know who's holding his leash a lot of the time. And I don't know that we'll ever know that. It's another thing. Government at least was transparent. At least you knew somebody was running things. And I don't believe that's really the case anymore, even with government. I think that people pulling strings are safely ensconced behind the curtain. And I don't know that we'll know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've often said that, you know, every 100 years these players will die and we'll have the same system in place until things change.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably true.
So I don't get too caught up in that, although I do think it's interesting. Let's digress for a moment. We're going to get back to all this stuff and talk more about your book, 17. But for the next couple minutes, I'm dying to hear about you getting kicked out of Korea or fleeing Korea and what that was all about. Can you give me the Reader Digest version of that story?
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm writing now. I'm taking a break from the 17 series. 17 series is going to go through the process of basically, you know, humanity changing over time to become an increasingly corporate species. So I've got the first book out, and now I'm writing the second book, my third book, actually, which is the story of the true story of how I met my wife. We were living and working together, teaching English in South Korea. I went to South Korea with $20 in my pocket after I graduated from college. And I got a job working in an English academy, and she was there teaching little kids. We dated secretly for a year, and South Korea in the early 90s was about like, I'll say, Mississippi in the 1940s. And if you imagine being a mixed-race couple in Mississippi in 1940, you can imagine what it was like to walk down the streets of South Korea with a Korean woman in the 90s. And we hid. We couldn't be out on the street together because people would harass us. Eventually, we got followed. Her parents had someone follow her and found out she was dating me. They beat her up, locked her in a room, and told her through the locked door that they were going to arrange for her to marry the first Korean they could find, because it was an important way to protect the family name. And having her be with an American would sully the name so bad that there was just no way they would ever recover. So it was a desperate situation for the entire family to get her away from me. She escaped at 3 in the morning, arrived at my place at 4 in the morning. We couldn't fly out of our own airport because they were there. Korea was a third world country, so it was, you know, you had a very small group of ruling elites, and then you had everybody else in the country. So the ruling elites had a lot of power.
Sounds familiar. We're going to hold that thought and pick it right back up on the other side.
Okay.
Show. Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Steele is our guest tonight, author of the book 17, and he's working on a new book that covers his own personal story of meeting his wife and having to flee South Korea. And you've got me hooked. I'm at the edge of my seat here. You've got a knock on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's escaped. You're trying to flee. The local airport is a no-go. What happens next?
We had worked together, and I'd been living in company housing. And again, this was, you know, it's a more common thing in Asia where your employer owns your home. So when I left my home, I had to, you know, go out and live in South Korea. And South Korea at the time, you couldn't rent an apartment. Everyone bought. And even if you were very poor, you'd just live with your family, or you would have everybody pool money, sort of like a Christmas club or something, and everybody would buy you a little corner to live in if they possibly could. So to rent a place, the only place I could be was in the ghetto by the American military base where all the prostitutes lived. And it was actually nice because it was the only place where nobody bugged us. Everybody just assumed my wife was a prostitute. And so she came into this dangerous area at 4 in the morning, all beaten up. And we tried to get out of the country. Well, we couldn't leave out of the airport there. We got tickets from another city to the Seoul airport, the international airport. And we had tickets to Guam. And we left with about $7,000 for Busan. My roommate was a guy who sold smuggled American booze in a sort of pseudo-legal bar, and I gave him the motorcycle that I'd been riding in exchange for the ride to Busan, but we ended up missing the flight. We got into Seoul way past the time that we would have needed to get on the flight to Guam, lost about $2,000 on the tickets, and bought tickets to the first place we could find, which was Hong Kong, in the next morning. And I had visa problems because I was not actually legal at that time. I had a different kind of visa than I was supposed to have, and they weren't going to let me leave the country. And I'll tell you, we did end up in Hong Kong, but it took a while, and it was not an easy escape. But we made it through the bureaucracy and eventually made it to Hong Kong. And I'll stop there so that people can read the story.
Very interesting. Is Korea still that kind of way?
You know, we've never been back. I'm releasing that story on October 28 of this coming year, 2014, because that will be our 20th wedding anniversary. And we've never been back since then. I've been back to Hong Kong since then, and, you know, on business and things, but I've never been there. I've never been back to Korea at all.
Interesting. So you'll have to eat all your bulgogi here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. My daughter really likes that. We're going to have that for her birthday. Every year.
Okay,
she has
fair enough. Yeah, Korean barbecue's good. I don't mind it from time to time. Occasionally you eat a nice piece of dog or cat, and that's always good.
Well, that's another thing, you know. I mean, you go back to the resources and things. You know, South Korea, all these countries that you say, oh, they eat these gross things. Well, you know, that was all they had. Korea's a really interesting culture because it's between China and Japan. It's kind of the bridge they would use to get to each other when they invaded each other. So Korea, in its history, has been invaded 900 times. And that has a lot to do with the way the culture developed and the way that, you know, for example, the way that women are treated. We would look at from the West and say, God, you know, these guys are really, you know, not nice to their women. And it was really nice to be a foreigner there because, you know, you treat women a little bit better and you're a great guy. So, but, you know, the reason was that they were constantly invaded and the women were being carried off. And, you know, the men were fighting for their little shacks, and so they were important. You had to feed them first because, you know, there might be an invader at the door. So a lot of that stuff played into how I came up with 17, because you could see how this developed and how, you know, dogs and things weren't really the primary. You know, another thing they had was this stuff called, I can't remember now. The silkworms was what it was. And they'd have this big thing look kind of like a wok, and they'd sell them on the street like popcorn. You could buy a bag of these fried silkworms because that was a good source of protein in a country where they, you know, as especially like World War II, Japan invaded South Korea and stripped it bare. I mean, they cut down every tree for the war effort. And just when I was there in the 90s, they were just starting to have some forests grow back and things. You know, that it was that or starve is how a lot of those cuisines came about. And it made you think about, well, what would happen if that happened again? What would happen if there were no forests anymore, you know?
It's a scary thought. You talk about that based on Darwinian selection, the people most likely to survive and successfully pass on their DNA to the next generation are the most corporate. And that might sound a bit extreme, but do you think that's where we're headed?
Right, and I think that, you know, when you say evolution, people get all, you know, certain people don't like that term. You know, well, I don't believe in evolution. Well, evolution just means a slow change over time. So even if you don't get into Darwinian selection or genetic changes, you can still say, well, cultures evolve. You know, society evolves. And I think that that is definitely what's happening with us now, because we have to fit into those modes, those you know, obedience is how you pay the bills anymore.
That's true. And if you don't play the game, then you don't get the Federal Reserve notes.
Right. And, you know, if you could go back at, you know, history kind of waffles. You know, my example that I like to use is Pa Ingalls. You know, Pa Ingalls was not a lazy man. Pa Ingalls would build his own fences and plow his own fields with his oxen, or build his own cabin out of logs that he cut himself. But anymore, that's not what happens. Now, a hardworking person is somebody who goes to the office every day, and you might have 15 levels of people above your head telling you what to do. And it's not about you cutting down a tree and building a house. It's not about you plowing your own field. It's about how happy is your boss with your work ethic, with your ability to get him to satisfy your boss, basically. So the definition of everything has now changed. It's kind of like Orwell, where words don't have the same meaning. A lazy man in Pa Ingalls' day was somebody who didn't take care of his own business for himself. And how does this lazy man survive? It's an anomaly. It's a weird thing to be lazy in a world like that, where you know if you don't plant the crops, if you don't harvest the crops, you'll die this winter. And you change that to, if you don't do what your boss says, you'll get fired, and you'll be living in a cardboard box on the street. Well, that's a different way to say somebody's lazy. What if they're not lazy at all? What if they're incredibly hardworking and they just don't fit into that hierarchy? And I think that's what's happening. So when you say, well, are we evolving this way? Well, yeah, we are. Our society is evolving. It's changing the definition of what it means to be a hard worker.
I definitely can see that. Mark, where can people find the book?
You can check me out at my website, armyofthedoomed.com. The book is called 17 Book 1, and you can find it on Amazon. I'm not a big fan of giant corporations, as you know, but I'm not stupid. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, or you can go into your local bookstore and ask them to order 17 Book 1 by Mark D. Diehl, D-I-E-H-L.
Mark Diehl has been our guest, 17, armyofthedoomed.com. Check it out. Thanks, Mark.
With financial